Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Persons listening to this show are exposed to the truth. This has proved to be deeply disturbing to liberals, sometimes causing mental disorientation and distraction. If you are a liberal and operating heavy equipment or are engaged in potentially life-threatening activity, be forewarned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to make you mad. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, my friends. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Happy New Year, 2015. I must begin this year with a call to all God-fearing patriots to watch and pray. You know, we sent a new Congress to Washington, and it appears that the Boehner team has moved swiftly to undermine and to undercut the will of the voters by blocking that new Congress from taking action to stop Obama. Now, was not the electorate clear in its statement? Did not we send a new House and Senate to Washington specifically to stop Obama? I don't think there's any reasonable way to interpret the election results that ends with the people wanting Boehner to lead Congress to fund Obamacare and Obama's amnesty decree through 2015. Is Boehner simply a bungling nincompoop, or is he bought and paid for by the GOP establishment aristos? You know, who are about as different from the Dems these days as a blood-sucking fly is different from a mosquito. That difference being only in how these bloodsuckers go about getting to your blood. It's beginning more and more to remind me of the old joke. Do you know the definition of the word politics? We'll break it down. Poly, meaning many, and tix, a blood-sucking creature. A gang of bloodsuckers. That's what we've got in politics today. Or maybe the problem is that Boehner, as some testify who know him, is a pleasure hound drunkard whose judgment is impaired by his constant wine bibbing. You know, driving while intoxicated is a crime, and I think driving the ship of state while intoxicated ought also to be one. You probably looked at Boehner, notice he looks drunk half the time. Testimony coming from those close to him say he's an alcoholic. He does like his wine, a regular wine bibber, as the Bible would put it, and warns us, by the way, Bible thump alert. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink or out of the way. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. And that's the gist of Isaiah 28:7. Is this a stumbling in judgment because of his overuse of wine? Perhaps that's what's going on among the Goper or Aristos. A pack of winos leading our country. Great. Remember the Valdez. Okay, I'm going to give you the specifics on this budget deal, but I warn you, you will not be as angry at the GOP as you were before you learned the particulars. And that is, you won't be as angry as you ought to be. Let's dig in, shall we? First, in summary, here's why you ought to be angry. Boehner thumbscrewed enough Republicans into going along with him to pass what is called the Omnibus Bill for fiscal year 2014. It funds the government through this fiscal year, and that ends in September of 2015. You know, the U.S. fiscal year runs from October 1 through September, the following calendar year. And this is why many of the conservatives remaining in the GOP are discouraged or enraged by Boehner's actions. Let me explain this to you. The voters of the new conservatives on their way to Washington sent them there to stop Obama, specifically to stop illegal Obamacare and illegal amnesty. And I believe it's important to interject that both Obamacare and Obama's amnesty decree are illegal. And what I mean is they are unconstitutional. Or to be more clear, these are acts that violate the Constitution, both in how they were made into law and in the actual effects of the laws that were made. What's with the love affair of our government with illegals these days? A purposed effort to end the rule of law in our land? And to transform our government into one that is under the rule of men? Have men become our rulers? This government was designed that men would govern under the rule of law and not become the law that rules. So anyway, the voters sent in a new Congress. That is, a new House and a new Senate. Specifically mandated to stop Obama's transformation of our government into a kind of a party dictatorship. But according to the Constitution, a new Congress is not seated until January 3rd, which is today if you're listening on Saturday, the day my weekend show first hits the airwaves. However, there is a provision allowing the preceding Congress to pick another day for the new Congress to begin. And so it has happened that the 113th Congress, on its way out, decided to make it January 6th when the new Congress would be sworn in and begin its duties. And then the new Congress will decide by when legislative action can and will begin. And it all takes about a month, I guess, to move through the settling in phase. Now, this means that the new Congress would not likely be set up to take action on their mandate until about February. The voters anticipated that this new Congress would rise up against Obama's tyrannical coup against the constitutional form of government in this country and stop him. And the only power Congress has to achieve this is the power of the purse. That is, the ability to defund Obamacare and his amnesty decree. I mean, short of impeachment, which is what I would call for. Now, here's what Boehner did. He whipped up support to pass a budget during the lame duck session of Congress, called lame duck because the Congress right now is comprised by many members who are on their way out. So therefore, it is now the old Congress, the one that has an Obama Senate majority and more pliable rhinos in the House than the new Congress will have. And Boehner and Obama both know this. So they get together to decide to pass a full-blown omnibus bill. Now, an omnibus bill is one that includes many parts. You see, the word omnibus means comprising of many items. So it's a general comprehensive budget providing funding for all government operations. This is interesting because up till now, the Congress has used CRs, that is, continuing resolutions, since October to kick the can down the road, so to speak. Ostensibly to wait until the people voted in November so that we would know what the next Congress was going to look like. Because a continuing resolution is not a new budget, it merely extends the old budget for a specified time. Now, the new Congress was supposed to be able to come in then and decide on a new budget. Now, a lot of us don't like CRs, continuing resolutions, because it's really a virtual abdication of leadership on the part of Congress. It allows the Congress to avoid going on record and taking any specific measurable action on a budget, which outside of making laws is the primary responsibility of the Congress. The reason, we suspect, that many in Congress support these CRs is that forcing their hand in a vote on the budget might hurt them in their bid for re-election. So it's all about politics, you know, that gang of blood-sucking bugs feeding on the body politic, which is about to become a corpse. not corpse as in core, but anyway. Now, by moving forward on a budget deal before the new Congress is seated, Boehner was able to work out a compromise with Obama, getting a budget passed that both Obama and the GOP aristos can live with, one that would not likely have gotten passed with the new Congress. Now, we don't like CRs, but it is interesting that suddenly Boehner doesn't like them either, like he did back in September, when he supported the so-called clean CR that continued support for Obamacare and Obama's amnesty decree, part of what fueled the revolution at the ballot box that took place this late November. Remember? But now, when it's very likely that the new Congress will be more conservative in its budget negotiations, Boehner pulls a fast one and runs a budget through Congress that conservatives don't like. We are infested by politics. Now the new Congress is tied to a budget it doesn't want, one that the people who voted for them and sent them to Washington do not want. So it undermines the very point of the November elections, that is to stop Obama. It gets very frustrating. But let's look at the particulars here, and I think it will somewhat mitigate your anger. I said somewhat. First, there is a reason this is being called the Cromnibus Bill. It's a combination of a CR, a continuing resolution, and an omnibus, or a general comprehensive budget. Hence, Cromnibus, Boehner's hybrid, which includes a continuing resolution with a regular budget. Now, the part of the budget that is CR is the part that includes funding for Obama's amnesty decree, and that runs out in March. Here's the problem many of the conservatives have with this. It's tied into the funding of the Department of Homeland Security. Of course, it would be anyway. So the point is, what Boehner has done is he has set up a showdown with Obama in which the new Congress is going to be forced to threaten to defund Homeland Security in order to stop Obama's illegal amnesty decree. But let's admit it, that would be a problem right now also, wouldn't it? You see, what I want to know is this. First, why won't the Congress initiate impeachment hearings against Obama immediately upon the sitting of the new Congress over his overreach, his use of executive orders to bypass Congress on several occasions? And I mean, really get behind that and do something serious about that? And second, I can only hope the new Congress will be strong enough to simply say no funds may be used to implement Obama's amnesty decree without having to play this political game where Obama and Boehner have tied it into the Homeland Security part of the funding. What is that nonsense all about? You should be able to separate that out and target it. They've done it before. So one thing Boehner did to placate some of the conservative-leaning House members was to offer this CR on Homeland Security as a way to allow the new Congress to address the amnesty issue later on, after February 27, when it runs out. Okay, what about Obamacare? Essentially, it would seem that got thrown under the bus. But let me give you the honest truth about what's going on with Boehner and his budgets concerning Obamacare. There are many laudable provisions in the last Boehner budget, that are continued in this budget. No additional spending for Obamacare. It does not allow any further raids on Medicare and Medicaid that Obama wants to divert to Obamacare. It continues the rollback of funding in some areas of Obamacare, like the reduction for funding of the Prevention and Public Health Fund by a cool $1 billion to stop the Secretary of Health and Human Services from using these funds for Obamacare exchanges, which they were trying to do. All of this implemented in the last omnibus bill. Well, the new bill also provides no new funding for the IRS. And that all amounts to some restraint against these agencies responsible for the implementation of Obamacare. Not enough, I agree. It should be just completely repealed and set aside. But it's important to note these things are in place in this budget. And then there are some other provisions that will help you understand why so many of the Democrats are frothing at the mouth over this bill, what they consider to be Obama's defection against them. For example, on the issue of life, the omnibus maintains all existing pro-life policy and funding, including the Hyde Amendment, and a ban on public funding of abortions in the District of Columbia, by the way, and a ban on abortion funding for federal prisoners. All things the Democrats want. Furthermore, it provides increased access to states for funding of abstinence education-based programs. And there's language in this bill directing the Health and Human Services Secretary to, quote, increase transparency of abortion coverage within federal health care plans, and instructions for the HHS Secretary to facilitate response to conscience claims filed by healthcare providers over violations of the conscience clause, end quote. These are good things. Also, the bill gives a pay raise to our troops and fully funds our military. That's a good thing. It includes $64 billion in overseas contingency operations to provide training for our troops in the field. And it addresses the ISIS threat, which is, by the way, increasing daily, with Obama sitting on his hands. Did you know we found, quote, the Islamic State's terror laptop of doom, end quote. Yeah. A report from FP, Foreign Policy, informs us that, quote, buried in a Dell computer captured in Syria, and that was in an ISIS hideout, by the way, are lessons for making bubonic plague bombs and missives on using weapons of mass destruction, end quote. Yeah, consider that along with this from Schuback, quote, the ISIS manifesto, what every American needs to know about ISIS plan to kill 10 million Americans, end quote. Boy, you ought to read that one. If we get time, we'll go into it in the next segment. So the bill does address some of these concerns. It does contain many provisions to rein in regulatory overreach that should improve conditions for an economic recovery in the area of jobs creation. It offers protection to our coal producers, relief to our farmers, and restricts the Fish and Wildlife Service from going forward with their idea to place the sage grouse on the endangered species list, which is, anyway, a big mess. Additionally, there are provisions to protect Second Amendment rights, for example, prohibiting funding for the EPA to go forward with their idea to regulate lead content in ammunition. And there's some other good stuff. So don't get too radical in your denunciations. Be balanced and focus your frustration with good aim. The Boehner plan was to use the scare of a new Congress coming in to motivate Obama to accept quite a long list of concessions in exchange for leaving his precious Obamacare in place. Now, you've got to be frustrated. I know that I am. But let's see what the new Congress does with the amnesty issue and the legality of Obamacare. There is hope. My friends, hold on through the break.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage.
King David wanted to bring the Ark of God into Jerusalem. God's prophet encouraged him and told him it was God's will. For this very special project, David commissioned the building of a brand new cart to carry the precious Ark of God. As they rolled down the road, they hit a bump. To keep the ark from falling off the cart, the driver reached out and touched it. This brought death to the driver. David became afraid of the Lord. He sent the ark away, and he went home troubled. Later, David understood from the scripture that the only proper way to transport the ark was for the priest to carry it. He decided to try again, and this time he did it according to God's instructions, and everything worked out beautifully. David was a good man with good motives, but his plan was flawed. Many good men with good motives are attempting to do a good work, but they're doing it the wrong way, and it has brought spiritual death to our churches. Are you in a new cart church? Come to an old path church this Sunday. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
Is going to church for you like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going and getting nowhere? Have you and your family really grown closer to the Lord Jesus? Are you being challenged to grow in His grace? Or are you allowed to hide your lack of spiritual growth under the cover of so-called grace? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, guiding families through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your Brain Masseur. And Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lamp from the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I want to address Obama's Cuban mission crisis more extensively and offer some observations on this, along with commentary on his more recent overtures toward Iran. I understand he wants to restore diplomatic ties with Iran and even go so far as to establish an embassy there. Anybody want that job? With his record of defending our embassies and ambassadors? Here's a take on Obama's Cuba speech from a Cuban exile here in America, a university professor of history at Yale. And by the way, thank you, Dave, for sending that to me, and I'll be giving further insight into the Cuba issue after I finish reading and vetting the book you recommended to me. Anyway, this Cuban exile describes his own memory of the terrorist Castro brothers' brutal takeover of his country. He speaks of hearing the Cuban people cry for mercy while Castro's monsters killed them in firing squads, only because they were suspected of disagreeing with his politics. Bloodsuckers indeed. He describes the mysterious disappearance of relatives, friends, and neighbors, some released after being tortured, to tell their tales and spread a net of terror over the people of Cuba, all in order to cower them into submission to the dictator. And yes, my dear friend Roland, I'm looking at that article you sent. As a professor of history at an esteemed university, Yale no less, this gentleman offers his take on Obama's Cuba speech. Quote, "I am furious, in pain, and deeply offended by those who laud this betrayal of the Cuban people as a great moment in history," end quote. He observes that Fidel's brother, Rollo's response to Obama's speech was to say he accepts Obama's gesture of goodwill, quote, "without renouncing a single one of our principles," end quote. Well, indeed, the Cuban dictators have a long history of human rights abuse, according to their principles, and it continues today. At least 8,410 dissidents were detained in 2014. This Cuban exile calls for tougher sanctions, not weaker ones. He calls for America to, quote, "tighten rather than ease sanctions on the Castro regime," end quote. And I got to thinking about Obama and his priorities in this area. For example, imagine Obama offering to relieve sanctions against the South African government for apartheid. Cuba has its own version of apartheid, you know, political apartheid, if you will. Anyone who disagrees with Castro gets set apart in indefinite detention. They disappear. Well, that might arguably be worse than apartheid ever was. Hey, Mandela was in prison for acts of terrorism, not because he was a political dissident. Get the truth, will ya? I mean, this is a real serious problem. He preached, quote, "there is nothing sacred or inherently superior about nonviolent methods of struggle," end quote. That's Mandela. You understand that this man, Mandela, trained as a lawyer, pleaded guilty to 156 counts of public violence and terrorism. I mean, like a crazy Muslim who justifies jihad against the evil infidel. As in that fellow who killed two white police officers in the name of racial justice. And it turns out he was a jihad-headed Muslim, killing white cops in the spirit of the rest of those new Black Panther thugs in Ferguson who justified their actions by allegations of oppression from the white man. Mandela boasted his murderous exploits were in the cause of justice. You know, this is developing here in America with the sympathetic understanding of our commander-in-chief, President-alleged Obama, and his fellow Marxists in the MSM, Marxist Socialist Media. The new Black Panther leader is warning that 2015 will be a year when blacks will rise up and kill white cops. He is stoking the expectation of riots and uprisings of blacks against whites in 2015. Something is coming down, my friends, in 2015. Zulu Shabazz told his audience on his weekly radio broadcast, Black Power Radio, that 2015 is the year for Panthers to, quote, "build up their army and to go to the gun range," end quote. How do these people expect us to hear that? What do they expect us to do when we hear them talk like that? These are Mandela's protégés. These are the people who cannot understand that a police officer killing a thug in self-defense is not the same thing as lynching someone simply because of the color of his skin. The whole thing is maddening, because the moment you agree that such injustices did occur and you express your outrage against those injustices, as you well should, well, these people jump on that as if it's a concession to their point and justifies their behavior. You know, that white people are racist and therefore deserve to be punished for past crimes done by people generations far up the line and not by anybody I ever met. What are you going to do with such unreasoned thinking? You see, what do you do when reason fails? Listen, you need to understand something. All that's left is violence. And that is where this is headed. They are not only breaking down law and order, they're breaking down reason itself. Reason is one of the most lamentable casualties in this war. God help us. What is left when reason fails? War. I ask you, is it reasonable to call for the killing of whites because a cop killed a thug in self-defense? No, of course not. But try to get through to some of these people and you see what you get. Try to get them to look at the facts. Try to get them to be reasonable. It's near impossible. You cannot reason with these people because, now listen, reason is not what interests them. The argument goes like this. They charge, "Hey, white people killed my ancestors for no crime except the color of their skin." You respond, "Yes, I know that did occur," and the debate is over. They jump on that as a concession to their argument, and off they go to riot against the white man's oppression and to justify it. But hey, we already fought that war. It's called the Civil War. And we won freedom for the slaves at the cost of much white blood. So why are these continuing to come at us now, hundreds of years later, using the crimes committed by people generations ago and by people totally unrelated to the vast majority of us, using crimes we as a people fought a civil war to correct, and using that as justification for committing crimes against whites today? It is absurd. And the reason is this. It has nothing to do with white crimes against blacks, and everything to do with breaking down America into chaos and in all that in order to replace our republic with Marxist socialism. Social justice to these Marxists means an economy that's controlled by the government and the people under a communist dictatorship where one party rules the people. And Mandela was of the same ilk. He made the same kinds of judgments. Blacks were raiding white communities, robbing, stealing, threatening, attacking, all on the pretense that the whites had somehow taken something from them merely because they built something on the land and made something of it when they settled it centuries before. The same playbook is being used here, and the progs are supporting it. Why? Because it all plays into their design to deconstruct America as founded and to destroy it, so they can then rebuild it in the image of Marxist dictatorship, with Obama leading the way. I mean, what else explains the inane repetition of the mantra in the mostly stupid media? This business of, you know, white cop killed unarmed black man, when that was a lie. And they knew it was a lie. They were stoking the fires of racial unrest. They want a breakdown of law and order and a total collapse of reason. Some think it's part of a plan to extend the president's alleged hold in the White House. Who knows? With his record for disdain of the Constitution, frankly, it would not surprise me if he did try something like that, you know, through declaring martial law or something of that ilk. Now, here's the thing. All of these people are of the same camp. Here's what I'm saying. The Castro brothers, Mandela and his protégés today in the new Black Panther movement, along with Shabazz, they're all cut of the same cloth. They're spoiling for a chance to instigate the violent overthrow of America in the name of social justice, when there's nothing social or just about what they're doing. Look at the Ferguson riots. That's what they want more of. That's what they mean by social justice. They mean revenge against the white man for perceived injustices, when in reality, it's rooted in envy against the white man for having what they don't have, just like South America. Even though if they would do what others of us have done, black, white, Chinese, you name any race, if they will just do what other industrious, hardworking people have done in this country, well, they could have it too. But they've chosen the coward's way. Just take it from those who have earned it and give it to those who have not. Communism, Marxism, thievery. Cuba wants America to have a Marxist revolution. That's what the Castros have been working toward since their revolution in the 60s. Iran wants America, the great Satan, to be destroyed. That's what Iran has been saying since the days of Carter, when they took American hostages in the infamous Iran hostage crisis. Iran and Cuba want America destroyed by revolution. And it appears Obama and company are complicit in this, as he has demonstrated time and again his disdain for our Constitution and has openly declared America needs to be fundamentally transformed from there to watching him consistently aid and abet our enemies or do things that has that effect. It all makes it increasingly clear what sort of transformation he's looking for. Now, these are dangerous times. It is obvious to all who are paying attention that Obama disregards the founders and any kind of reading of the Constitution that follows the idea of the intent of the founders. He wants a new America. And that new America, from what we've seen of Obama's administration, is going to be shaped in the image of, what, old Europe? I mean, he is committing acts of tyranny not unlike those that led to the first revolution in this country when we threw off a tyrant named King George. A monarchy, a dictatorship of the party, like Russia, where one party ruled, in that case the Communist Party. And for Obama and company, it would be the Democratic Party, where the people will be made subjects of the ruling class, whose almost every breath controlled by the government, prisoners in their own country. There is a strange common denominator to the Black Panther agenda, the jihadist agenda, the agenda of the Castros, and the leaders of Iran. They all want the same thing. They want the destruction of America so they can feed on her. Meanwhile, even the great dragon is beginning to salivate over a potential implosion of America. I need to close here, but come Sunday night, I'll develop this from biblical prophecy, and you'll see what can and must be done to stop it. But there are elements in the Chinese government who are calling on China to prepare for war with the U.S. in foreign policy. Here in an article titled, quote, China and the United States are preparing for war, end quote. You've got China increasing military expenditures exponentially, while America is deploying more and more of its assets into the Pacific, along with an ever-increasing, quote, mistrust of China among many thoughtful people in the United States government, end quote. A February 2014 article in a U.S. Navy magazine titled Deterring the Dragon proposes, quote, laying offensive underwater mines along China's coast to close China's main ports and destroy its sea lines of communications, end quote. Whoa. Meanwhile, China's making similar plans, unofficially, of course, but the dragon is eyeing the eagle, and the eagle is keeping an eye on the dragon, and with so much of America involved in a war against itself, one wonders whether we could pull together one more time to stave off another effort to bring the entire world under dictatorship and destroy this last bastion of freedom. Now, we Christians must rally to the chief shepherd's call to watch and pray, to soldier up in full spiritual armor and go forth with the sword of the Spirit, laying in to every lie that is used to blind us from what the enemy of our liberties is up to. Right now, we need to remain vigilant, watchful, and pray and fast that God will raise up a leader in these times who will turn us to the right. And I don't mean merely the political right. I mean to what is right. God restore reason and truth and the valor of men with principle who will lead with the courage of their convictions. Well, let's hope this new Congress will succeed at ousting Boehner and stopping Obama and restoring this economy. Because, friend, we're going to need all our might to fend off the rising enemies of freedom from both within and from without. And I'll see you Sunday night, 6 p.m. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. A free call to anyone within the continental United States. From outside the country, or for those who prefer it, my podcast listeners, for example, you may reach me by email. Go to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. You find a place there to send me an email. If you're in a hurry when you call, just give me a lights on or lights off and then hang up. If you will, leave me a message. I'd love to hear what you're thinking about the opinions addressed on this show. God bless you. God save America.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain with stimulating insights.